Good morning, Bridge City. How are you?
Thank you. Very kind. Thank you. Appreciate that. Humbling.
Well, good morning. How are y'all this morning?
Doing good?
Oh, come on. You awake after that worship? That dedication, that was awesome.
Amen. It's such a blessing to be here, and I appreciate Pastor John and the leadership and all the A-team and the support that they've given and inviting me here. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's a blessing to be here, to share the Word of God with you. It's always a blessing to share the Word of God, but it's always kind of nice to be back home. You know, we spent a lot of years in this campus, and it was a blessing to be sent out from here, but it's always a blessing to be back. So I want to start this morning with just a simple question. You know, has your faith ever been challenged? Anybody here's faith not been challenged? How often does your integrity get tested? If you're saying daily, then you aren't paying attention, because it's got to be at least hourly. Amen. Right? Amen. Your integrity is being tested all the time. You know, I've even had some people kind of say, is it even possible to live life today with integrity? What would you say to that? Yes. Come on, be emphatic about it, right? Right. But we are being tested all the time by the world, what the world is telling us, by the enemy of your soul that keeps telling you you can't live with integrity, that you got to compromise here, you got to compromise there, you got to get along to get along. How many of you believe that? I don't want to see a hand up. No, because we have the Holy Spirit of God within us. You know, when I think about integrity, I think about an old story that a pastor told me once years ago. He said, this is the story behind integrity. It was a way that merchants used to scam buyers. And they would take a bowl or a pot, and it was cracked. And if it had a little flaw in it or something like that, they would take some clay and some paint, and they would fill it in, and they'd do a real good job of messing it up. And just making it look pretty. So it looked pretty on the outside. But when that person got it home and they filled it up with whatever they're going to fill it up with, water or whatever, it would start to leak. Eventually, it would just break apart. And a pot that was whole, that was complete, one that didn't break apart, that didn't fold under pressure of the internal pressure, that was a pot that had integrity. When we look at people in our lives and we look at the people around us, we can't tell just by looking at the outside whether they have integrity. We start to see the integrity when the pressure builds. And I want to tell you that as I sit here and I look at the idea of integrity, of being whole, of being undivided for God, and I'm talking about biblical integrity. I'm talking about godly integrity. I'm talking about standing firm on the Word of God, that this is the foundation of everything that we believe, everything that we walk out, everything that we do, and every decision we make. And there won't be a crack. And we won't fall apart because the Spirit of God within us strengthens us. I want to tell you that Proverbs 27:7 says, the godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow after them. Amina, Zamora, Theo, they need their parents to walk with integrity. That was the challenge today. Will you walk with integrity as you raise these kids? But you know what else they need? They need each one of us to walk with integrity. They need each one of us to walk with a godly integrity that will not buckle under pressure. That they can look around and they can see a family of God who's willing to stand for the principles and the precepts of God no matter what the pressure. That was the challenge to us. Amen? Got real quiet in here. In Hebrew, the integrity meant the condition of being without blemish, completeness, perfection, sincerity, soundness, uprightness, and wholeness. In the New Testament, means honesty and adherence to a pattern of good works. It's just not the way we live our life under pressure, but it really needs to be a way that we live our life every day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, how it brings life and it brings healing and it brings passion to our lives, Lord. God, that you have called us to a higher place, that we're not bound to the things of this world and what the world tells us, but we are called to a bigger and better and godly standard. So God, I pray today as I share this word, God, you would allow me to just exhibit that passion for your word. And Father, that we would be able to walk out as a people, the integrity that you've called us to. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the third in our series of Sunday school. Now, why we do this is a lot of people these days don't grow up in the church. And so they don't have an opportunity to hear a lot of these great stories of the Bible, right? And so we wanted to go back and just take some time and just kind of tell you about these stories that a lot of us grew up with. I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't become a Christian until I was 17. But then I got to teach. First thing they did was they stuck me in kids' ministry, and I got to teach these kids. So I had to learn them first. And so they were great stories. So we want to do that again. So we want to make sure that you're grabbing a hold of these Sunday school lessons that we have. And, you know, I want to make sure you have your doodle sheets. Everybody got their doodle sheets? Okay, you ready to go? All right. If I see people writing, or maybe you're on your phone, all right. How about your snack? You got your snack? They pass out the snacks yet? All right, good. Hang on to those. Don't eat those yet. How about the rules? You know the rules, right? Be a good listener, follow directions, raise your hands to speak, be kind to others, do your best, right? Those are the directions in Sunday school. This is what we're gonna do here today. All right, so I want to come back to the question. Is it possible to walk with biblical integrity in today's world? Thank you for that emphatic yes. Yes. Because what's missing in today's culture of the world is integrity. Courage and integrity. I had to throw that one in there. Courage and integrity. Courageous people who were willing to walk in integrity. This is important. And our memory verse for this week is, even if we were thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. Any ideas on what our message might be today? Who's it about? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Yeah, we're going to call this the fiery furnace. Woo. All right? Anybody ever been in a fiery furnace? I haven't been in a real one. Thank you, Jesus. But we've had some other ones. So I want to give you a little background to this story. The story really is about three young men who were taken at probably age of 14 to 16, somewhere around that place, from the southern kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Judah. They were hauled all the way across the desert into Babylon, where they were then taken and they were renamed. Why? They were renamed because their original names were different. But I want to talk to you today about this thing, biblical integrity. And I want you to know that as a Christian, because of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability right now to have biblical or godly integrity and stand firm in who we are in Christ. We have the ability to stand firm in the trials of fire. And we have the ability to stand firm believing for a greater reward. Are you believing for a greater reward? I am. And so these three men were dragged, young boys actually, they were dragged across the desert. They were renamed. Their original names were Jewish in nature, Hananiah, meaning Jehovah is gracious. And he was renamed to Shadrach. Now, I just want to stop here for a second. I want to be very clear that I pronounce these names right, that I enunciate them well. Because I know that over the years, I read a story once where a pastor was speaking really fast, and he was talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the couple that was new to the church came up to him afterwards and said, "We can't believe that you are advocating premarital sex." And he looked at him and said, "What? Well, you said his shack, her shack, off to bed we go." So I want to be sure I enunciate these very, very clearly. Okay, so it's Shadrach. So if you think I'm saying something else, I'm not. And then we had Mikael, which means who belongs to God. And his name was changed to Meshach. And then Azariah, and his name means Jehovah helps. And his name was changed to Abednego. Now look at what those meanings were. They changed them to idol names. They named them after idols. Why? We see throughout the Bible that God continues to change names. Saul to Paul, Abram to Abraham, because there are meanings in the names. Are we living up to the name that God has put on us? It's children of God. His children. We need to live up to that. See, these men, these boys, whatever you want to call them, they were given original names that had meaning, that glorified God. And even though they were renamed, they didn't submit to that renaming. Now, I want to tell you that when these guys got across into Babylon, they entered one of the most powerful and beautiful and amazing structures in all of the world had seen at that time. And some things happened to them. Number one, they were renamed. See, they went through this, they were trying to brainwash them. They were trying to change the way they think. And so they renamed them. Then they made them eunuchs. Yes, they took off their man parts. And then they started to teach them in the culture and the literature and the religion. The religion of Babylon was ideology. Demonology. And we may say, oh, that was terrible. That was for that day. No. That stuff continues to go on because the prince of this world is still alive and well, and he is still trying to brainwash people left and right in our culture. Where does this happen? I'm just going to be real honest with you. You can be upset with me if you want to, but you know where the main place this happens? College campuses. Where they bring them in and they start brainwashing them with liberal ideology. They start telling them that God is just a myth. God is just a crutch. They start going into places where, and if there's anybody who's not against education, it's me. I am all about let's learn more, but I want to find the right environment. You know, they're still making eunuchs out of the men because they tell them to be passive. They're creating spiritual eunuchs with no integrity, no fortitude. I want to tell you right now, we're fighting that in the Murraysville campus. Every Thursday morning at 5:30 a.m., there's a group of men who get together, and we're going through this book called Men of Courage, Defeating the Silence of Adam, because that's what the enemy has wanted from the day one, is for men to be passive, laid back, quiet, and not be the men that God's called us to be. I hear a lot of women saying amen, but I don't see her many guys. Guys, you were called to something bigger. You were called to something better. And we're not called to be manipulated by this world's culture. Not manipulated by the thinking of that the media is spewing out at us and telling us that this is the way we should think and this is the way we should act. Can I just be honest with you? There are two sexes, men and women. And I get wound up when I start listening to people start to spew the garbage that the enemy of this world is spewing through our media. Pastor John, I'll tell you, I get wound up. We have great talks about this kind of stuff because I realize what it's doing is it's neutering God's people. It's neutering God's people. It's trying to intimidate us to be quiet about the greatness of God. How can we be quiet about the greatness of God? We got to get fired up about this. All right, so I should probably get to the Bible. All right, so we're going to start up with that first point that we made. We have integrity when we stand firm in who we are in Christ. So King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall, 90 feet wide, 9 feet wide, and he stood it up in the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon, and then he sent a message to the high officials, officers, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue that he had sent up and Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Keep going. And all of these officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And then a herald shouted out, "People of all races and nations and languages," because he had conquered the world. Everybody was there. "Listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither." Who knows what a zither is? You know what it is. Yeah. It's like a little lap harp. A zither, a harp, pipes. It beats a lap dog, let me tell you. And other musical instruments. "Bow to the ground and worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace." Why was this happening? Because the enemy of this world hates people who glorify and magnify God. That's the bottom line. But ultimately, in that culture, Daniel and these three men had saved all of the advisors, and they were jealous because Daniel and these three guys were getting way too much accolades. But jealousy led this. And so they couldn't get them on character. We learned that last week in Daniel 6, right? They couldn't get them on character. They couldn't get them on what they did because it was too integrous. So what could they attack? Their religion. Isn't that what we learned last week? So what did they do? They set up a place where they knew that these men would not bow down to an idol. You think the world's going to set you up? You better be prepared. Because if you don't think the world's trying to set you up, you're naive. Because the world hates those who love God. But some of the astrologers went to the king and they informed on the Jews and they said, tattletales. And they told King Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king. You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the golden statue when they hear the sound of the instruments." Isn't it interesting that he used worship try to get the people to worship an idol? See, worship's God's idea. See, the enemy of this world is going to try to take everything that God does and twist it just enough. Don't be fooled. When the worship starts, the decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. There are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you've put in charge in the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve the gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up. Do you think these three were the only three that were taken captive out of Judah? There were probably hundreds, if not thousands. And yet all of those others apparently bowed down. Some will ask, where's Daniel? Well, I think the king knew from previously that Daniel wasn't going to bow down, so he gave him a PTO day. Probably sent him away because he knew what would happen, that Daniel wouldn't have bowed down to this either. But Daniel's not, it's the only chapter of the book Daniel's not in. But we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is a sign of good leadership. When those who are under you continue to stand firm in the principles, even if you're not there. That's good leadership. And so these three stood there, and they wouldn't bow down. Now, how many people were there? Some estimates say somewhere between 30,000 and 300,000 people were on the plain that day. And all bowed down but three. But three. Think they stood out? You ready to stand out? Are you ready to stand out for God? Because that's what he's going to call us to do. because that's what integrity looks like. You cannot be friends with the world. There is no way you can do this. King Nebuchadnezzar gets really, really mad, right? And he says, you know, some things, and we're going to cover in just a second. But here's the thing you got to remember. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. There is an enemy of your soul who wants to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have overcome the world. Then in Peter, it says this, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? And I'll say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Who wants to be an enemy of God? Not me. So I will forsake what the world is telling me I should be like, so I can be a friend of God. I can walk out what it is to be a son of the living God. Anybody with me?
Yep.
Amen. See, we got to realize that there is a battle going on. There is a war going on. This isn't something that we can just be like, oh, well, you know, que sera, sera. No, you're in a battle. You chose a side when you received Jesus Christ. Stand up for that side. Stand up and get in the battle. Get in the fight. And you don't think you're going to be set up? You don't think you're going to be standing out? Well, we'll find out. So the first one is stand firm in who we are in Christ. The second one we were talking about is stand firm in the trials of fire. So we see Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage. Have you ever noticed that that's what the world does when you don't comply?
Yep. Yep.
When you don't comply, it flies into a rage.
Yes, it does.
That's really sad. Maybe it's an attribute of the evil one. Flew into a rage, and he ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. And when they were brought, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I've set up? I'll give you one more chance. I'll give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I've made. When you hear the sound of the worship, but if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing fire. And then what God would be able to rescue you from my power? See how he's setting himself up? Oh, it's not a good place when you challenge God. Don't do it. And he knew, why did he give them another chance? He knew that they were wise. He knew that they were loyal to a point. He knew that they were men who were getting things done. They were men of integrity, and he was going to give them another chance. See, these three never forgot who they were. And they never forgot whose they were. They didn't just give in to peer pressure. How many of us are buckling to the things that the world's telling us? Because we just want to get along. Because eventually, it's going to ask you to bow down. You need to decide right now. Can I tell you right now? You need to decide right now who you're going to bow down to and who you're going to stand up to.
Wow, come on.
You need to decide right now, because when it gets in the heat of the moment, when you get in the fiery furnace, it's a little late to make that decision. Because I know what decision you make. Your flesh will win out. Make it now. Decide now. Prepare now who you'll bow down to and who you'll stand up to. We need to stand firm in who we are in Christ and in the fiery furnace. To peer pressure, we need to know whose we are. In our biblical conviction, we need to know whose we are. Because once we know whose we are, that we have been bought with a price. And that's whose we are. Because once you know whose you are, then you'll know who you are. We got to grab a hold of it. In our worship, what are you worshiping? I only worship God. Really? You know what an idol is? Anything you put above God. Money? Well, I can't tithe because I can't trust God. That's what you're saying. Well, my kids require me to be at every soccer game on Sunday morning. It goes on and on and on. We put a lot of things in front of God. Those are called idols. That's what God calls them. He says he won't battle you for them, but he wants your heart. He wants every bit of you. So what are we placing as idols between us? There's no room for compromise. You know, you're not a mile from compromise. You're one step. You're one step away from a little compromise here. Ever heard of a little white lie? Ain't nothing white about it. Like an angel dressed in white. Yeah, that's what the enemy says. So what do we look at? What are we looking at in our integrity? What are we willing to do? It's no big deal. Let's don't turn it down. Let me tell you a story about some finances. When I was in college, I went to college. And I had a pastor there who was telling, he was a realtor on the side, and he was a big broker, and he was brokering a big, big deal between a guy that was selling a huge piece of property and another guy who was buying it. And the buyer took him to lunch, and they were talking and working this thing out, and the buyer looked at the check when it came, and he giggled. And he said, what's going on? And he said, oh, she forgot to put my pie on there. I guess I got a free piece of pie. And he went off and paid the bill. And the seller looked at the broker and said, this deal is off, because he'll steal a piece of pie from her. No telling what he'll steal from me. Integrity is everything. Integrity is spoken every day. You know, we talk about integrity is what you do when nobody's looking. Can I tell you what? No, there is no time when no one's looking. There's no time when no one's looking. Somebody's always watching. And you may be in here, and you, those three young kids here today, are going to grow up, and they're going to be watching you. Are we going to be people of integrity? You know, we talk about guys. Oh, guys, you know, don't lust. Don't let your eyes wander. Well, let me tell you, women's eyes wander too, but it's an area of comparison. Oh, look at that. Look what she's got. Look at what she's wearing. Look at her house. That's comparison too. We gotta control these things. You know, the enemy says that there are three areas, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Are you willing to say, please forgive me? See, we gotta walk out this integrity issue. We gotta have this as something that it's a standard for us that we are not willing to compromise. So let's go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they replied to Nebuchadnezzar, I love this. I wish I could put this in modern terms, but I have no way. Pastor John could, but I could. We do not need to defend ourselves against you. How would you say that? I don't need to defend myself against you, Nebuchadnezzar. This is the most powerful man in all of the world right now. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. And he will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, see, that just tells me we don't presume the will of God. We just chase the will of God. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it perfectly clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. That is the line in the sand, and I will not step over it. That's integrity. Are you ready to make that stand? I've never been in a fire furnace. I hope I never have to be. I hope you never have to be. But there will come a day when you have to stand for God. They made their statement, our God can save us, but even if he doesn't, we will not worship idols. And I want to make one thing clear. This isn't one man's delusion. This has been through all of history, where the world wants us to bow down to their God, to them, to these things. I want to show you a couple of this. In Matthew 4, when Jesus was in the desert, it says, next the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said, I will give it to you, he said, if you kneel down and worship me. Look at some of these pictures that I pulled up off the internet, because this is prevalent. North Korea, look at those people that are forced to come and kneel down before the statue of the president. In Turkestan, you know, that's Mufasa, I guess. You know, he's got himself up on a cliff, and they have to bow down to the golden idol up on the cliff. Iraq, you know, they had these huge statues. Go to the next one. In Russia, of Stalin, and China, of Mao, and they have all these huge statues that people have to come and bow down to. Do you think this is something that was just back in the biblical days? There was 700 years ago? 600 BC? No, this is happening today. What happened to the Jews in the 40s when they would not bow down? They were thrown in what? A fiery furnace. See, the enemy isn't creative. He's just consistent. We have to be people of integrity who stand firm no matter what happens. We will stand firm because we know who we are in Christ. We will stand firm because we know we are willing to handle the fiery furnace. You know that as Christians, you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and you were built for this. You were built for this. You were created for this, to stand against the enemy. Even if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God in whom we serve is able to save us. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he threw them into the, he had them bound first, right? He had bound up with knots, and then he had his best men, you know, his SWAT guys, whatever they were. He took them, and they ran up, and they threw him in the fiery furnace, and it was so hot that it killed the soldiers. So he was so angry and made such stupid decisions when he's angry, right? Because the anger of God does not bring about the righteousness of man. That he was willing to sacrifice some of his best men because he was angry. What kind of dumb decisions do we make just because we get angry? We need to be people of integrity and make decisions that glorify God. Okay. Anger distorts our reasoning, our ability to see the truth, and often it hurts others. We see these three men, but I want to tell you, think about the process here. They said, we're not going to listen to you. We don't need to do this. Our God's bigger than you are. Our God's bigger than the statue. And he got so mad. He said, stoke up those fires 7 times hotter. Now, these fires were probably used to melt gold, which means they had to get to at least 2,000 degrees F. That's pretty hot. That's why it probably killed the soldiers when they threw them in, right? And so think about this. They weren't sitting at that temperature. They had to be stoked up to that temperature. So what do you think the king was doing the whole time while they're getting the temperature up? What do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are doing as they're sitting? What's going through their head as they're sitting there watching the temperature of this thing go up? Was the king stomping around because he was still mad? Was he glaring them down? Giving them opportunity to change their mind? That's what the enemy does. He sometimes gives us a little bit of opportunity to go, ooh, maybe I spoke a little too soon. Maybe I should compromise a little bit, save myself. Ever been there? You're seeing what's going to happen. These guys stuck to their integrity. Stuck to what they said they were going to do. The world's going to continue to turn up the heat on us. Are we ready? Are we ready? Now you have snacks with you. And snacks, what we gave you, I think they're s'mores, right? Are usually over the fire. So it seems like a good place. We're talking about the fiery furnace. But you can open up your snacks and have your snacks. Just be sure you don't have any open flames right now, okay? That would be good. Yeah, somebody pulls out a blowtorch or something like that to heat up their s'more. Don't do that right now. All right. But I'm telling you that the enemy of this world is going to turn up the fire on us. He's already doing it. He's already doing it. This isn't anything new. What we're going through isn't anything new. Same old, same old, same old enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion. He isn't one. And we have the God of all creation. Third one is stand firm, believing for a greater reward. Sorry. So Nebuchadnezzar jumps up in amazement and exclaims, didn't we tie these three men up and throw them in the furnace? And he said, we did. Look, I see four unbound walking around in the fire unharmed. And the fourth looks like a god. He isn't a god. He is the God. Nebuchadnezzar came close and he called out, come on out of there, you three. And notice he didn't ask for the fourth one. Just the three. And so they came out, and the high officials crowded around, and they saw they didn't, nothing, a hair on their head was singed, clothing was not scorched, no smoking, because why? Because they lived with integrity for an audience of one. who we live in our life to please, the world or God. You got to make that call right now. They lived for an audience of one. Look at what got burned up. The men who threw them in and the bindings, the things of Babylon. Now, Pastor John was good to point out that was the clothing that they're wearing Babylonian or was it Jewish, right? I don't care. They didn't need to be naked. So, anyway, God said, look at what I will burn up. See, we were created for the fire. Don't run from the fire. Walk through it. We're supposed to walk through the fire and he will be with us. Amen? Amen. God protected his people because we have to stand firm to the things of God. Things are going to get uncomfortable. You ready for that? I'm not sure I am. I just retired. I'm kind of looking forward to a little bit of peace, but I know it's not coming. Because that's not the way of God. And that's not the way of the battle that we're in. They tried to get him to do this. Now, Nebuchadnezzar says something very interesting. Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's fan and were willing to die rather than serve the worship and God, anything but their own God. Therefore, I will make this decree. If any people, whatever their race, their nation, language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb. Houses will be turned into heaps of rubble, and there will be no other God who can rescue like this. That's from somebody who just watched what God did. Can you accept that in your heart? There is no other God who can rescue like this. We got to get that in our head because the enemy and the world and the media is telling us that God is a crutch. When you're crippled, that's what I need. I want to tell you that this was a very important moment because at this moment where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in their fiery furnace, it was probably the closest to hell they ever got. But when that king looked at them and he said, praise the God of, unfortunately, that may have been the closest to heaven that Nebuchadnezzar ever got. So we got to realize that this life might be tough, but we weren't promised an easy thing. But this is what we do. We look for a greater reward. We're looking for a greater reward. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to a higher position in the province of Babylon. We may not see our rewards here like they did, but we will see our reward in heaven. One of the greatest rewards, and somebody asked me this morning, Pastor Rick asked me, he said, what's the reward you're looking for? Well done, good and faithful. See, that's what we get when we walk a life of integrity. That's what we'll get when we walk that life of integrity. Because these three men knew the principles of Exodus 20, and here's what it said, you may not take for yourself an idol of any kind. This is the Ten Commandments. Of any kind or an image of anything in the heaven or in the earth or in the sea, you will not bow down to them and worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for other gods. So let's go back to what we said we started with. We need to stand firm in who we are in Christ. There's always going to be someone who demands you bow down. Maybe it's a boss, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's the world, maybe it's a government. They want us to bow down to something else other than God. We have to decide now who we'll bow down to and who we're going to stand up to. The second one is that we're going to stand firm in the trials of fire. Do you believe that you will have trials of fire? If you haven't, you will. I'm promising you. This is what God promises. It says in 1 Peter 4:13, instead be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have a wonderful joy in seeing his glory. You will have a wonderful joy in seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. See, our goal is not comfort and ease. It's power and strength to walk through. The third thing is believing for a greater reward. God will deliver you from death. God will deliver you either from death or through death. In death or through death. We don't avoid the trial. God walks us through it. It's how character is formed. It's how integrity is formed. But even if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, we will never serve the gods of this world. Can you stand up with me for a moment? Some of you are going through fiery circumstances in your life. Just remember that we can stand firm in Jesus. The Goldens went through a fiery circumstance. It's hard. Stood firm in their faith in Jesus. They gained a reward in Theo. Some of you are challenged right now, and this is like going through the fiery furnace. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you will walk out that place, this is as close to hell as you'll get. The other ones of you, maybe you're here and you go, oh, that was good. Oh, yeah, that was nice. It was a good story. I believe God. I believe in God. But what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He acknowledged God, but he never turned his life over to God. And so that meant that moment was as close to heaven as he was ever going to get. I don't want this earth to be as close to heaven as I ever get. If you're here today and you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to not be like Nebuchadnezzar, to not make this the closest to heaven you've ever gotten. Very simple. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never done that and you want to do it, or you've done it and you've walked away and you need Jesus in your life again, I want you to just raise your hand and say, that's me. I don't want this to be as close to heaven as I ever get. If you're here today, we just want to pray with you. We're not going to bring you up here. We just want to pray with you. We want to confirm and affirm the things that Jesus has said are for his children. So if that's you today, just raise your hand. Let me see you. Amen. Many of you are here today and you're going through those trials, and I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you would have the strength to walk through them with integrity. So Father God, I come before you, and every person who's struggling in an area of their life right now, every person who's struggling in a fiery furnace of their own right now, every person here who desires and needs your comfort, God, I pray that you would strengthen them, that you would encourage them, that their faith in you is enough, that they can stand firm in you, Lord God. And you are always faithful. You have never let us down. I want to remind you to finish with the words of Paul. He said in Ephesians 6, the final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm. Resist the enemy in the times of evil. These are times of evil. Are you ready to resist? Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. I want you to stand firm. But it's going to take some work. And it's going to take some integrity. But God's Spirit can take us there, take us through it. We just have to stand firm on that godly integrity. Amen.